The Morning Show at WFHR.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR, 1320 AM. W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The first and only vice presidential debate before the November election was a civil affair.
First of all, Tim just said something that I agree with.
I agree with a lot of what Senator Vance said.
Democrat Tim Walz and Republican J.D. Vance were cordial and shook hands as they focused on policy differences on everything from abortion to immigration and taxes.
Kamala Harris has said to do the things she wants to do, we'll just ask the wealthiest to pay their fair share.
If Kamala Harris has such great plans for how to address middle class problems, then she ought to do them now.
Our CBS News poll shows both candidates' favorability numbers jumped after the debate. CBS's Matt Piper.
Republican J.D. Vance bumped up 9 points, 40% to 49%. Democrat Tim Walz jumped 8 points from 52% to 60%.
The survey finds voters evenly split on which man won it. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The risk of wildfires is higher than normal this week. The Department of Natural Resources is asking people to check for fire danger levels before doing any outdoor burning. The forecast calls for dry, windy weather. The main cause of wildfires this time of year is burning brush and leaf piles. Donald Trump returns to Milwaukee for the first time since accepting the Republican nomination for president. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Trump delivered a subdued speech focusing on educational matters, particularly criticizing the low reading proficiency rates in Milwaukee public schools. The former president also addressed recent events in the Middle East.
I think even Iran would have been in the Abraham Accords. Ultimately, it would have been great for everybody, and you would have had peace in the Middle East.
Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Breast cancer is becoming an increasingly common diagnosis in women under the age of 40. Younger women have denser breast tissue. Cecilia Strode is an MD and breast surgeon at Aspirus.
Mammogram may not be enough, especially if they have other risk factors. And so what we add to that is screening MRI. And with a screening MRI, we can find very small tumors also in women who have dense breasts that would have otherwise gone unrecognized.
However, unless deemed medically necessary, screening MRIs are not completely covered by all insurance in the U.S. Lifestyle choices can reduce your chances of developing cancer.
The Mediterranean diet is kind of the recommended diet at this point. More physical activity and exercise is better, but even a little bit goes a long way.
Also, zero alcohol intake. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy today. We'll get into the mid-70s for a high this afternoon. The wind south gusting to around 25 at times. Tonight, clear. We'll drop into the upper 40s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. We hope you're having a great Wednesday out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Terry and James hanging out with you. We got good things lined up for you in this hour. We're going to be having some fun talking about the top person we refuse to tip. That is going to be an interesting one. I want to get into that. 1 in 7 people sleep in whenever they whatever they wore the other day. That is an interesting stat. I didn't know about that one. I don't know about that. We got that one coming up for you. A couple other great ones coming up as well we'll be getting into. But I want to kick off our entertainment section here on a melancholy note as we say goodbye to a great John Amos, passed away August 21st. Although his death was just announced yesterday, he was 84. May not know the name, but you know his work. John Amos was known as James Evans on the 70s sitcom Good Times. He was the father on there. One of the first TV dads I remember. Also played Kuta Kinte in Roots, the older Kuta Kinte in the miniseries Roots. He was Cleo McDowell in Coming to America, the dad of the woman.
The sitcom you referred to, I don't think
I've ever heard of that.
Oh, Good Times. That's a great show. He was Gordie Howard on the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Mm-hmm. He was also the voice of Oogie Boogie in The Nightmare Before Christmas. Just an incredible actor with an amazing career. And you look up John Amos's IMDb page and look at the credits and the work he did. He worked consistently for multiple decades. Just an incredible performer, incredible actor. And with the news of his passing, the thing that I think can be often helpful to a lot of people is when you hear other people coming out and saying, hey, I really miss this person. Oh, I'm still seeing great things about Kris Kristofferson and the stuff that's coming out about him and some of the cool stories that we didn't hear that we're hearing now and everything. We all kind of mourn together in this regard. We're all on the same level on this regard. And it's been really cool to see like Danny Elfman and a bunch of people coming out and just talking about their interactions with him over the years. And just a wonderful human being as well. People just loved working with him, and a really, really incredible, impactful performer. Will be missed. Great actor. I wanted to get into this story too with you, Terry, because when it comes to promoting your music or your movie or anything, we pretty much have seen it all, or have we? Because I don't know if you've heard of this one. James Blunt is making a promise to his fans that if they can bring his 2024 album Back to Bedlam back to the top of the UK charts, that he'll be he's re-releasing it on the 11th for its 20th anniversary. And he says, quote, I have signed up to changing my name to whatever the public wants. They can change my name. I swear on my life and the life of my one fan, Brian from Glasgow, that I will change my name should this album hit number one.
That is weird.
Of course, the public are going to be kind. They're not going to do anything that rhymes with blunt, are they? And he just had fun with this one, like Blunty McBluntface or the public has named before and everything. Now it's a long shot of this happening, to be fair. So what he's risking is not too big of a risk. But at the same time,
famous last words,
exactly.
Right? Like as soon as you say that,
now he's got a fine first name. He's got. I'm kidding. Is James Blunt his real name? That's what I wanted to look up. Because if that's his real name, if it's not his real name, well then you know what's the harm here? He's already changed. Once. I don't know. I don't know about this one.
I don't know. I just think it sounds like a lot of work.
It is his name. James Hillier Blunt is his real official name. So, and he is an English singer. I didn't know he was an English singer, huh? I got to be honest. I don't know. I know very little of his music. It's not really my thing. The kind of shoeless beach stuff.
But I
don't know. I don't know how to describe it.
I think that's really strange.
But
I mean, I guess if you put it out there and people are willing to make it happen, then you better put your money where your mouth is, I guess.
He's definitely going to have to do it, that's for sure, if it comes to that.
Take the money and fade off into the sunset.
There's that, too. There's that, too. I don't know. To me, it's low risk, high reward, it could be. It could be. If it does well, say it doesn't hit number one, but it gets way up on the charts, yeah. Sells a bunch of records, and, you know.
What happens if he gets to, like, 3 and then he's starting to panic?
Yeah.
And his mom's whacking him over the head, you know, like, I mean.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That's the thing, too. I wouldn't want to upset my parents. That's the whole thing for me with this. Like, for me, if I were to do something like this, I couldn't do the first name.
It's an interesting tactic, but
see how it goes.
Not my jam.
And we go to Kate Winslet and Titanic. Now, Kate Winslet, I think, is one of the better actors I've ever seen. I think she's an incredible, wonderful actor, and has an incredible career, including like Oscar winning and other notable, you know, things that she's done in her career. But man, she just keeps coming back to this role and keeps getting asked about it. And I give her so much credit. She just smiles and always enjoys it. She loves that people love the movie and love the performance and everything. She is, by the way, if you ever get a chance to see Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet, it is the version of Hamlet to watch. It is, if you're going to watch Hamlet, that's the version. She is. She plays Ophelia in it, one of the more iconic Shakespearean characters, and nails it. I have never been able to see that character as anybody else other than her. her.
I really like her too.
She's so good.
A lot. Such a good actor. Even the circle backs on Titanic, and of course I'm biased because I love that movie. But I just love another thing about her is that she is proud of her work. Yeah. She loves her work. Yeah. She doesn't care that it was, 30 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like we'll talk about it. That's what you want to talk about. That's what we'll talk about.
Yeah, I see. I know exactly what you're hitting on there too, Terry, when it comes to actors, especially because they're always being told, promote your new work, promote your new stuff,
And I never see that from her where she's like, you know how you get like that vibe, like get over it. Yeah. Let's talk about something else. And I never see that from her.
Very and a humble actor too. One of these people too, where again, just like I was saying with John Amos, there's a reason why you see certain actors work consistently. And yes, they can be talented, but talent only gets you so far. Ask Russell Crowe about that. Look into why you don't see Kevin Costner in more movies. Like, there's a reason, everybody. And I bring this up not to get you to dislike these actors or anything. Watch who. Whoever you want, don't listen to me. Entertainment is for everybody, but I do think that being a good person goes a lot farther than we realize in life. And there is this idea that there's like this separation between us and celebrities or something. There is no separation. There's a difference in bank accounts oftentimes and stuff, but as far as human beings go, they're human beings and they're just people that have an opportunity to make a living at what they love to do. Kate Winslet is one of those people. She was going on. She was talking about the role, what happened on the Titanic and everything, as far as her being on the
that
chair.
That it sank?
So Kate Winslet is finally ready to burst your bubble about the famous door scene in the end of Titanic about 27 years later. She says the scene was shot in waist-high infinity tank and that Leonardo DiCaprio was actually kneeling down. The tank also recirculated water, so there was a constant sound of water rushing, which caused minor audio issues. The cast had to re-record their lines after filming was complete. This happens a lot in movies. Kate says, quote, "The last 22 minutes of the movie are entirely looped, everything, I promise you, because you could hear this water noise the whole time. I shouldn't be saying any of these things. James Cameron's going to be ringing me like, why are you telling them that? But this is part of who she is. She's a very down-to-earth person and everything. And I imagine after 27 years... Spoiler alert, they weren't really in the sea.
Wow, they were not filming this in the ocean.
And that's actually encouraging kind of to me to hear, because one of the reasons that I have not been a big... Look, James Cameron is a good director. A very good director. And, he's got plenty of notoriety to go ahead and prove that. But there's a reason why Kate Winslet ain't working with him again. Why a lot of people don't work with this guy again. Because what he does to his actors is unnecessary. It goes above and beyond, and he doesn't go through any of these things. He's not going through this stuff with his fellow, with the actors or anything, or the crew or anything like that. It's just them that has to go through it, and that's not leadership. That's not what a good coach does, and that's what a good director is. Oftentimes, they are a good coach. There's a big similarity between the two. Martin Scorsese gets that. Good directors get that. James Cameron has never gotten that. And to the note of this, what he put the cast through that movie is insane. To hear that it was this, which is rough, but still not nearly as bad as being in 0 degree water for like 5 hours in a row, so that we can get that perfect white hue in you, Kate, and these things that they put, like, she's got frostbite from that movie. Like, that ain't right, man. Like, there's acting, and then there's like, wait a minute, like, okay, what? There's method acting, and then there's taking it way too far. James Cameron has done that way too many times. I love that she still talks about this movie in light, where she had some really rough times from that movie. She had to take some time off of acting after that movie. She talks about it, just loves it. Just loves that people love the movie. And kind of a little behind the curtain look at it there. That's kind of neat. I thought that was kind of cool. And the movie still holds up. What was it? A year or two ago it was re-released?
Was that 25th? Yeah, so like 3 years ago, I think.
And killed it in the box office. Did amazing in the box office.
It was fabulous. I went back.
Did it look different at all with some of the modern kind of, like,
I think
hasn't changed that much in 27 years.
No, I think they just did a little bit of, whatever, what would that be? Something digitizing it, or, digitizing. That kind of thing. So, yes, but I mean, here's what was different. Like, I went up to Cedar Creek and was in the, you know, the lounge chair, like the recliner chairs. So, I mean, so it was different, of course, because the theater experience is different. But, you know, I don't know. I guess, yes, it's different than my VHS copy, but no change to the
That's a great
movie.
Note, though. You get a chance, everybody, to see any movie in a theater like that. Oh, take it.
Yeah, but take a nap first so you don't fall asleep. Right? Like, you know, like, point. You can bring, like, a throw blanket in with you. You know, you get all snuggled in. It's like, dang, you want to fall asleep.
Make sure to take a nap before you get to go see Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Drinking Habits. They are going to be back in action tomorrow, everybody. They have got a show tomorrow at 7 and Friday at 7. They will wrap everything up on Saturday with a 2 o'clock matinee. Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater has kicked off their 50th season, and we are having some fun with this one. Drinking Habits is a great show. Wonderful time. You're looking to have some fun, have some great laughs, have your heart sing. Go ahead and check out Drinking Habits. And keep in mind that we are looking for people. We are always looking for good people out there. We got some great auditions coming up for the next couple of shows. White Christmas is the Christmas show coming up, or the holiday show, I should say. The auditions for that are October 7th and 8th, right around the corner. You need a lot of people for this one. This is an ambitious show, everybody. This is a big production, and I'm very proud of our theater for doing something like this, because you don't do something like this unless you can back it up, and we're going to be able to. We're going to get a good crew, good cast together for this one. It's going to be a really fun show. White Christmas is a classic. It's a staple. Bringing this one around for a 50th season, that's going to be a
hit. That'll be really cool.
Be sure to mark your calendars. Now, the show itself will premiere on December 5th. The auditions are October 7th and 8th. Come on down, everybody. We are looking forward to it. And get your tickets for Drinking Habits as they get back into action tomorrow. They get back into the habit tomorrow.
back into the drinking?
Yeah. WRCtheater.org. WRCtheater.org. Go get those tickets. Terry and I will be back with some fun on the morning show at WFHR.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington, has changed her. And now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy today. We'll get into the mid-70s for a high this afternoon. The wind south gusting to around 25 at times. Tonight clear. We'll drop into the upper 40s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
There's a spook in Tin Pan Alley walking on the piano keys.
He's a jiving ghost who can make the most.
The hum his rhythmic tendencies. So
Oh, the Bryan sisters playing us in here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR's morning show. Terry and James hanging out with you. The harmonies of those older bands I can't get enough of. Love it. Nice job, Seth. Nice job putting that in there. Terry and I getting into an interesting one here. According to the Associated Press, Hurricane Helena and its accompanying storms dumped a whopping 40 trillion gallons of rain on the U.S. over the past week.
Isn't that... It's kind of incomprehensible.
That is enough to completely fill Lake Tahoe. That's in, like, basically had Lake Tahoe dropped on us over the last week.
Crazy.
That's insane. Fill more than 60 million Olympic-sized swimming pools, just to kind of try to size this up in our heads. It's also the equivalent of roughly 619 days of constant water flow over Niagara Falls. That's just insane.
Think about that.
Yeah, really.
Almost 2 years worth of
wow.
Water.
Meteorologist Ryan Muse, a former NOAA chief scientist, was one of the who calculated the amount of rain. The 40 trillion gallons total was for the eastern United States. The 20 trillion of that hitting just five states: Georgia, Tennessee, and the Carolinas, and Florida. A man named Ed Clark is the head of the National Water Center in Alabama, and he thinks that the 40 trillion number might even be conservative, might even be more than that. Also, the calculation was only for rain that fell through Sunday, and 1.2 trillion more gallons of rain may have fallen since then, particularly in Virginia.
I was seeing some news reports like last night of, you know, homes being swept away and just a lot of tragedy, yeah. Of course, you know, and hardship that have accompanied all of that rain.
It's I think these things are important to talk about in major part to not only create some empathy and to hopefully remind people that you can help. There are ways that you can help these people and individuals. I know I've heard over the last week of a number of individuals here in central Wisconsin traveling over to the Carolinas or to Georgia to help out any way they can. It's a reminder that one, you know, these. That these people need help, and that when these things happen, nobody help strangers helping strangers.
Yeah,
you know, I believe very strongly in silver linings in life. And while we can't change the past, but what can we do about today? What can we do going forward? And finding the silver linings in life is key to life, having perspective. And when we see these things happen, our hearts go out to these people, and the very next thing we see is strangers coming out of nowhere. And hey, how can I help? What can I do. We're used to that in this community, but not every community is like that in our area and stuff. So I think that this is noteworthy. It's pretty cool to see so many individuals coming out, looking into the ways you can help. And it's a reminder again, too, of the man. Nobody's beating Mother Nature. Like, it's just a wild thing. You see some of the videos of this, too.
Yeah.
It's heartbreaking to see what is going on
and
with
it's,
that.
And it's almost like it's just unbelievable. You know what I mean? Like you watch it and it's incomprehensible. And yeah. We're just watching it. You know, yeah. Like we're yeah. not living it. So, yeah, it's tough.
Tipping is one of the bigger talking points going on right now. You know, when to tip, who to tip, how much to tip, all these things. It's never been talked about more, I don't think, in our lifetimes and the way we talk about tipping.
But,
now.
You know, they're not even talking about... I mean, what's been surfacing lately isn't even talking about tipping. It's talking about if there's sales tax on tipping, which is just stupid.
That part is, yes. Yeah, I mean, ridiculous. But a new poll looked at the top people we refuse to tip, even if a credit card machine asks us to. And the number one person on that list is our mechanic. Most Americans wouldn't tip a mechanic because they're seen as professionals who already make a good wage and charge, you know, with the cost and cost of services and the cost equaling out to most people. And the other industries that we don't tend to tip, concession stand workers at sporting events, fast food workers, and any restaurant worker when you're picking the food up yourself. 51% of people say on that one. On the flip side, the top people we always tip are food delivery drivers, Uber drivers, Instacart shoppers, and bartenders. So we are those consistent people we are still tipping. And there are some industries where we have never really tipped that I think people are kind of sticking to the standard of. Then there are some industries that used to see tipping that are not seeing as much of it and seeing that go down a little bit.
Well, but okay, so remember when, and I'm not saying this doesn't still happen, but remember when like there was a wage adjustment for those who would be tipped. So like a waitress or a waiter would have a lower wage because their tips were part of, You know what I'm saying? So,
oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
I don't know that you can say that every single person in a service-related industry. So, like, when you brought up the mechanic, that would just honestly not even be on my radar.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because you're paying, you know, you're paying them to do.
Yeah.
They're being paid by the the garage or whoever is employing them, you know, to do for that job. I don't think, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think if I'm trained, I'm a trained diesel mechanic and I get hired somewhere that I think I'm going to be working for tips.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't, you know, like to me that. So I agree with that, that's not, I mean, it wouldn't be on my radar.
Same
to do
here.
That.
I just saw my mechanic yesterday and shout out to Charlie, great guy. It would never come up. And never, he's an older gentleman, and I imagined if I tried to slip him a $10 bill or something like that, he might have actually felt insulted, maybe. He might be like, what are you doing? You don't tip me. You don't,
One thing that I have noticed, though, probably in the last maybe year or 2 years, is I do get a little annoyed because every place that you use your card, because I just use my debit card. I'm just not a great cash carrier. But every single place I feel like that I use that card, it asks for a tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's because it's more, to me, it's more about technology capability and capacity, right? So when you're setting up that credit card machine, you can just set up, oh, tip option, right? But so if I walk in, and I take that back, not every single place, not the grocery store,
but the majority,
but I also feel like, okay, so I walk into a local place and I'm literally just asked, I want to buy a gift card. What do you want? I buy a $50 gift card, and then they want you to give them a tip. I'm like, you'll get the tip when the card gets you. You know what? Like, yeah, I don't know. To me, it just doesn't.
I understand.
Maybe I'm just a little bit more traditional in my thoughts around that.
I think that this all comes down to minimum wage
and
paying people a livable wage.
I'm a great tipper. And I think that tipping is important. But I also feel like every place, you know, it's kind of like where you pick up your own food. People are like, nah, I don't. Why do I need a tip? I'm walking up to the counter to get the food.
I don't know that it's changed that much as far as the people that you've always tipped since we were kids. You're still tipping.
I think it's technology.
Yeah, honestly. A lot of it. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show. What's on your mind?
Tipping.
Yeah.
So me as a single female, I tip my furnace man because I want to make sure that thing's working right during the winter.
That's smart. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very smart.
I do tip my mechanic. And tips doesn't always have to be monetary. I take the guys down the bakery, I buy them lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
A lot of these guys have never had that. Never. I don't know how many times I slip a 10 to the guy and say, buy lunch.
Yeah.
And they'll say, I've never had that in my 20 years.
That's really cool.
I think that's incredibly sweet. I think that's incredibly kind. And it goes a lot farther than I can imagine we even understand. You know, only they know how much that really means. And I imagine it means a lot. I think that's really cool of you.
And it's just going out of the extra way of saying thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Especially when it comes to those industries. Because when it comes, what I do like about this as far as bringing attention to it is when it comes to, like, a mechanic, that this is, there is a set standard kind of pay for something, and then there isn't as far as the amount of hours that are work and stuff. And most good mechanics, if you've got a good mechanic, you hang on to them like a hairstylist. You are not letting go of that person. And it's a great idea to appreciate that.
About with your man.
It's tough.
I was like, but when I got a problem and I can go down to my corner shop and get it looked at right away, at least tell me whether I can still drive it or not.
I
think that means a lot.
I think what you're talking, in fact, I feel what you're talking about because I know that it's something my parents instilled in me and my brother and sister as well. It doesn't always involve dollars and cents to let people know you appreciate them. You can. There are things you can do, even not that aren't necessarily a quote unquote tip, but it is like a tip. It is sort of like that.
Yeah, it's like I said, you know, taking down rolls when you take your car down.
Or yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Pick them up a coffee.
Drop them off the cookies or baked goods. Yeah. That's awesome.
Some really good points. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for calling in and listening.
Take care. care. Have a good day.
You too. Great. Best listeners of the radio. Appreciate that. I think that's a really good point to bring up on this one. And it goes so much farther. I've never gotten a tip in radio or anything. But man, have I been spoiled in this job. A big shout out to Diane.
I was going
to
say, I think there's cookies at the breaker right now.
Exactly. We get tipped all the time around here. We get tons of, if I never received another thing in radio, I'd be good. Because I've been spoiled and humbled by every one of you out there in many different ways. So really do appreciate that. And I think it goes a lot farther than we realize, like I was saying. Let's take one more call. Good morning. You're on the air.
All right. I gotta chime in here.
You get tipped?
At Christmas time, we do. Gifts. You know, people are always, I remember one of my first old stops that if I did it just right, I would get some freshly baked cookies. She would always have, holiday time, she's always cooking book cookies. And there were some times I got there and they were like fresh out of the oven. They're nice and warm, chocolate, ooey gooey cookies,
good. Yeah, yeah.
Kevin, you better bake some cookies when you get home today.
I'm getting hungry over here. Yeah.
But, you know, you were saying about, say if I order a to-go order from a local establishment, some of those establishments now, basically, if they do tip their cooks, mm-hmm. So if you sit down at that restaurant, portions of the waitresses or the waiters' tips, the business owners encourage them to give some to the cooks too, because if it wasn't for the cooks making the good food, chances are you're not going to get a good tip, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if I do the to-go order, I always throw $5 into that, because I know most of that's going to probably end up going to the cook, because obviously the person that took the to-go order,
yeah,
they're not going to, it's going to go to the cook.
Is it going to go to the person that was there when you picked it up?
It's a question.
No, I mean, I do that. Like, there's a place close to home for us, and we'll order food, and I will tip when I pick up. I think maybe the article was thinking more like when you are somewhere and you have to walk up to the counter. You know what I mean? Like, you order at the counter, that way. But yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I think tipping's very important.
And isn't this one of those things, too, where you know when you feel it? Like, you know, your gut is telling you, I should tip here. Or, I don't need to tip here. Or something. I think some of us, at least, that feels pretty evident in these situations, too. And it, some of it is also looking out for each other or supporting a local business, maybe. You like this business. This business treats you good, so you want to make sure that they stay in business and, tipping or whatever, making sure they have good people. This is one thing that I think that really mucked this all up, and the machines that you were talking about before, Terry, because I think 90-some percent, and I'm going way high here, but I think that 90% of individuals know when to tip and do tend to tip when they should. The fact of being told to immediately changes it for some people. And immediately, like, where they were going to tip, and all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute, I don't tell me what to do. Or, it's one of these things that we do in society all the time, and the way we are with our money, which we have a right to be. I'm not saying anything wrong about that, but I think that the big issue became forcing this on people or guilting people, maybe more importantly, trying to guilt anybody into something. Trust me, I've been trying to tell my mother this my whole life. It doesn't work.
Okay, listen, mothers and children are different. You cannot different. Put that in the same category.
I apologize, Mom. I apologize. Kev, appreciate you, man. You have a great morning. Be safe out there.
All right, you guys have a great day.
Have a good day.
You too. We'll take a time out, get into some news. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democrats and Republicans in Wisconsin have picked new presidential electors. 10 Wisconsin Republicans posed as fake electors for Donald Trump 4 years ago. They agreed to a settlement last year that called for them to admit Joe Biden won. They also agreed not to serve as electors in any election involving Trump. A new report on agribusiness consolidation calls for better enforcement of antitrust laws. The report's author is Basil Musharbish.
It doesn't have to be this way. These firms are smart and powerful. They've executed strategies over decades. The U.S. government allowed it because we made policy decisions not to enforce the antitrust laws. We can take action to fix that.
The report finds decades of mergers have reduced competition, leading to higher costs for farmers and consumers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Are you a senior and need your vehicle checked over before winter? There's a free event on Saturday at the Lincoln Center in Stevens Point. It'll be from 10 to 2 on Saturday, October 5th. Car technicians will complete a 12-point vehicle inspection and provide a list of any problems discovered during the inspection. It's best if you can make an appointment, as drive-ins are not guaranteed service. You can call Lindy at the ADRC at 715-346-1409. October is National Dental Hygiene Month. Healthy Peoplewood County is reminding us that oral health is connected to overall health. Did you know that poor gum health can worsen blood sugar control in people with diabetes? It's important to brush twice daily, floss daily, limit foods and beverages that are high in added sugar, and have a yearly dental checkup and professional cleaning. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers face elimination tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today in Game 2 of the best-of-three wildcard round. Yesterday, the Mets defeated the Brewers 8-4, retiring the final 17 batters to take the win. Manager Pat Murphy said the Brewers will need to respond today after not being able to put anything together late in yesterday's game.
Same with them. Neither team got a hit after those runs scored. Interesting. You know, I don't know what inning that was when they got the five, but whatever it was, nobody got a hit after that. Isn't that crazy?
First pitch is after 6:30 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play a decisive Game 3 tomorrow evening. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday after losing last weekend to the Minnesota Vikings. Kickoff this Sunday against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks announced their 2024 training camp roster on Monday. Camp begins tomorrow for the Bucks. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Bronczynski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, former Republican congressman from Illinois, Joe Walsh, will join us. Should be an interesting conversation. He'll be here at 10:30. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy today. We'll get into the mid-70s for a high this afternoon. The wind south gusting to around 25 at times. Tonight, clear. We'll drop into the upper 40s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. We got some good stories of the day to wrap up the show a little bit later. We'll be getting into. We're also going to be getting into our schedule. Looking forward to that. We've got that coming up for you and a couple of other big things we want to get into. All that on the way. But we were just talking tipping, Terry, so I thought that this one would tie in well to that. The average person and how much they tip. A new survey asked Americans how many times they tipped for services when they didn't think it was necessary, and the average person responded 40 times. 60% of the people say that they're fed up with being asked to tip different services at various businesses, and around the same percentage, 61, feel pressured to tip. So this is kind of getting into what I was getting in there. I did not read this article beforehand, so it just kind of is going hand in hand. The quote-unquote, what we're experiencing is called tipping fatigue. It's dragging down the average tip even to 38% of people that say that they usually tip restaurant servers and 20% or more. But that's down from 43% of 2 years ago.
Oh,
so
interesting.
This is having a negative effect, and where it's having a negative effect the most is on the people that need it the most, on waiters and waitresses and a lot of people in those industries that our whole lives have always been tipped. Similarly, 19% of people say that they usually tip restaurant delivery drivers more than what they usually do, but that is down also from over the years. So while there are some people that are kind of going above and beyond and some of what we talked about before, the majority of people are actually, they're still tipping, but just not as much. And in these key areas is where we're focusing on. Overall, 61% of people are willing to pay more for restaurant meals to help facilitate higher wages for staff and eliminate tipping altogether.
Oh, interesting.
So that is where a lot of our society is going, where we're kind of like, look, why don't you just pay them a living wage and not put it on us? I already paid for my meal. I'll pay an extra $2 or an extra dollar for the hamburger or whatever. Just pay your people well. And this is something that I have talked about with our representatives, both Representative Teston, Representative Krug, Senator Teston, Representative Krug, about minimum wage in this state. I'm just focusing on Wisconsin because that's where we are. Mm-hmm. I've talked to many listeners in other states that are in similar situations and some people that are in states where the minimum wage is much better and fits the cost of living much better. The argument usually tends to be, well, if we have the minimum wage set at a certain place, then, you know, the businesses will take care of it because all businesses are looking for good workers and we're starving for good workers, et cetera, et cetera. So it'll fix itself kind of issue. And, well, we don't need government to do these certain things. And I agree with less government 90% of the time. But we have a government for a reason. And it's reasons like this, to set the standard and to not leave it up to businesses to do the right thing. Because I'm not talking about mom and pop places. I'm talking about businesses that we all know what I'm talking about here. Mm-hmm. And I don't trust them to do the right thing. I would feel much more comfortable of making them do the right thing. Now, they're going to put up, well, we got to cost this. This is going to affect this is going to affect that. That's business. If you can't adjust to that, you don't belong in the game. We got other people that could do the job. There are a billion businesses out there. There are a billion business people out there. If you can't make it work, I'm sorry. I don't want to see any industry go under. But that's life. That is business 101. We need to pay people better. Point blank. Like, it just is. Cost of living doesn't add up. We are going to be joined tomorrow. And I'm not trying to pull you guys into this. This is me on my soapbox. But we are. I do see a chance to bring up tomorrow. We are going to be talking with Ben in the United Way and talking about the Alice Report. And this touches on that too.
Oh, absolutely.
Degree.
It's about underemployment.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So it all comes together. And it all means that while I feel in my heart that we look out for each other very well as human beings and as a society. We do need government to step up and do their job from time to time. And this is one of those times where I think that minimum wage has not been changed since the early aughts in this state. It's seven something. I don't know many high schoolers that can live on that, let alone, you know, grown adults that can. This isn't something, this shouldn't be one of those dividing things, I don't feel. This affects everybody. Because even if you are making good living, I'm making a good living. I don't get to say that very often in my life, but I'm making a good living right now. I could easily skate past this subject. It doesn't affect me, but it does because it affects my taxes.
Yeah, it affects the economy as a whole.
Yeah,
for sure.
So this all adds up, and I don't think that this is something that, he's really going out on a limb saying this. No, I feel like this is pretty standard. I feel like we should all be on the same page on this one. And it evens out to where, okay, we don't have to worry about tipping because that's all covered now. And how great would that be that you're not being annoyed by that tipping machine anymore and that little button popping up and everything? And that, that seems nice.
I think it's just everywhere now that we don't expect it.
That's the thing.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just all over.
I'm not sure, Terry. I think we got a that ain't right story here. It might be. Someone polled people on Reddit and asked what they usually wear to bed. And 1 in 7 people said it's what they're wearing right now.
Ugh.
Wow. That is a high number. I would not have guessed that. That's a lot higher number than did they ask a bunch of like 7-year-olds? Because that's like a teenage.
No, these are grown adults.
Yeah, you're probably right. 14% said that they usually sleep in what they
want. And worse is they roll right back out of bed.
We're guessing most of these people are work from home types, not coal miners necessarily. But a lot of people in the comments found it gross and said that their beds must be filled with lots of germs and bacteria and all that. Here are the top 5 choices and how many people choose each one. So pajamas, 31% of people, number one in the list. Pretty understandable. Just sleeping in your underwear. Okay, 30% of people do that. So almost the same amount of people.
But you've taken off the clothes that have your day on them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like.
Well, and even if you don't do a quote-unquote dirty job or got dirty that day, you have skin cells, you have dust,
you're still dirty.
Yeah,
you're still dirty.
You ate
in those clothes.
Yeah,
like
Whatever you wore that day, 14% do that one. That was number 3 on the list. Number 4, 14% sleep naked. And number 5, shirtless. So the opposite of the Winnie Pooh. They got the bottom and not the top. Or every cartoon character from Disney.
But I mean, at least you take off, right? So like the underwear thing, I hope you put on clean underwear.
Right.
But the whole like, I've had this on all day and then I'm going to crawl inside my bed with that on.
Whoa. Yeah. I like to sleep in a beekeeper's outfit. It just is. It's comfortable to me. I don't know about this one. This isn't my wheelhouse. Sleeping is not my wheelhouse.
Might help your dating if you slept in something else.
Probably.
I don't know. But I'm also a clean bed person, right? Like clean beds get cleaned at my house on a regular schedule. You know, like I don't know.
I will say that I fall into the category of falling asleep in what I'm wearing when I tend to not, you know, I just pass out because my body's like, we're done for the day.
Okay.
That's not on purpose, though.
Yeah, you're an abnormal sleeper.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not saying I've never fallen asleep on the couch or maybe while I'm reading or something, but I'm not like inside my bed.
Right.
You know, like
that's
I've not crawled in the sheets
I don't know that there's many scenarios where, you know, go with it.
Okay, maybe. Like,
maybe when
I mean, something I can think of that probably maybe where we've done it, like maybe if you're camping and you have like extra layers on, you know what I mean? It's cool or, you know, like I can think there are some scenarios, but like to just regularly do that.
No.
Again, these are 14% are crawling in bed in those clothes and probably 13.5% of those are rolling out of bed in those same clothes the next day to do something.
Yeah, that ain't right. That ain't right. So I have
change
officially
your clothes.
Announced it.
Change your clothes.
Story. Yeah. We got another good one to get to. We got some other good stories to get to. And we are going to talk a little United Way before we wrap up. We'll be back with all of that and more right here on The Morning Show at WFHR.
To everyone who craves a rich and creamy hometown treat, let our team member Nevaeh tell you how we do it at Culver's.
Every scoop of Culver's fresh frozen custard is made in small batches throughout the day. Because where we come from, the little things make a big difference. Like bringing back a seasonal favorite, our salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer and pumpkin spice shake are back for a limited time. Handcrafted with farm fresh dairy and real pureed pumpkin just for you.
From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's on 8th Street South. In Wisconsin Rapids.
Having low income can mean making tough choices, choosing between paying for food
or medication, or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy today. We'll get into the mid-70s for a high this afternoon. The wind south gusting to around 25 at times. Tonight, clear. We'll drop into the upper 40s tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a great one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
I don't know why, but the food industry and all that we were talking about just made me immediately think of that. It's one of the most interesting opening lines to a song. It's such a weird song, but a great song. Warren Zevon, great songwriter. We got to get into this one, Terry. Got some good stories of the day for you. And an Ontario library is where we go first, where a patron who recently returned a trio of Ronald Dahl books that were nearly 40 years overdue would have faced over $1,000 in late fees if the facility hadn't gone fine-free. The Parry Sound Public Library said a patron recently returned all three of the Dahlia books, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator, and the BFG. Returned them all after 40 years.
I mean, many libraries are going fine free. So, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they just held on to them until they changed their policy.
It might have been. You got to wonder. Did
they just find them and be like, oh my gosh, I have to return these? Or were they like, I could just hold these for another year until they change their policy?
Did you know we don't charge overdue fines anymore, the library said on their social media post. Quote, if we did, this poor patron would have owed over $114,000.
You know, okay, but even if you did still take fines, wouldn't you just be like,
yeah,
you know, reasonable?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Maybe just pay for the cost, because they probably, in that time frame, replace the books, right? So yeah, maybe they just cover the cost of the new books or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think that's what they would have done. And a lot of libraries are doing these kind of things. It's important to keep that in mind. And that includes our local library right here in Rapids, McMillan Memorial Library.
Is fine free.
Yes.
Yes.
And they are doing that. And not only do they offer that, but they offer so many other great things. We just had Catherine on yesterday on Midday Magazine. Wonderful conversation. Always fun hanging out with her. There's a lot of cool things going on at our local library. They've got a bunch of stuff coming up for Halloween, but one of the cool things they are doing, and I honestly think this is one of the coolest things I've heard of McMillan doing or anybody doing, they have this costume swap going on. It is going to be on October 8th from 5 to 7:30 over at McMillan Library. They're working to repurpose and reuse gently used Halloween costumes this year. Stop by the library to browse in the costumes, which have been donated for the costume swap.
Oh, that's cool.
Such a cool idea.
I hadn't heard about that. I love it.
I will continue to bring this up, not only because I think it's important and other people could use this, but it's such a cool idea. Even if your kids grow out of a costume and you got no more little kids around or anything, keeping to use those costumes is great.
Oh, yeah. Well, because what do you do with them?
Right.
And I mean, I kept my kids until, I didn't get rid of them right after they outgrew them. I kind of kept them until they weren't little kids anymore, because sometimes friends want them or remember when you wore, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But then, then got to a point where it's like, okay, now all these can go.
When I was a kid, we moved around a lot. One of the places we ended up living was right outside, right before we moved to the city. I happened to be there for Halloween. And as I've mentioned, didn't grow up with a lot. So a lot of my stuff was hand-me-down clothes, including my Halloween costumes. And one of them this year, the only one they could find, was a Pink Panther costume. A gigantic Pink Panther costume.
Wow.
So I was walking around Southside with a Pink Panther costume on, and man, did I get that. I bring it up with my dad yesterday, and he starts laughing. He almost falls down laughing. Jimmy, you look so silly in that Pink Panther. And like, I got into 4 fights that day.
It could have been like a pink dress.
Could have all been avoided. Could have all been avoided if they had something like this, Terry. Could have been a pink dress. That would have been worse. That would have been a lot tougher.
I mean, when you first went to pink, I'm like, oh, Lord, where is this going?
But this is so cool for kids. And keep in mind, you do not need to bring a costume to take a costume. That is a really cool thing. They are collecting costumes right now. So if you're able to, please, everybody, donate those costumes you are not using anymore. Stop
so
by
you
Macmillan.
Can still bring costumes in.
Yes, yes, you cool. still can. They're still collecting them for right now. They'll be collecting them for at least a couple more days. And then again, on October 8th from 5 to 7:30 over at Macmillan Library, they'll have this costume swap. Big shout out to them. Find out more at MacmillanLibrary.org, MacmillanLibrary.org.
Very cool.
Also wanted to mention a couple of other things going on here, like our schedule. We got a great one lined up for you today. Be sure to join us a little bit later today from 4 to 5 for Midday Magazine. We're going to sit back and for the entire hour hang out with our friends from the Wood County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff Sean Becker will be with us.
Nice.
Going to talk with Sean about this bike ride coming up. I want to get into the ATV conversation with him and plenty of other things to talk about with Sean. He always comes in.
Coffee. Remember coffee.
Got coffee with a cop today. Keep that in mind, everybody. Maybe you see any of our officers out there, bring them a cup or something, you know, and wish them a good day, and appreciate their service out there. We'll be hanging out with one of those today. Sean Becker going to join us 4 to 5. And of course, we got a great one lined up for you. With after that, we will have playmakers on today from 5 to 6. Join us. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Bring your sports takes, your sports thoughts and feelings. We want to hear from you. Join us for Playmakers Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5 to 6. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. We'll lead you into the Luke Fickell Show today at 7:05. Coach Fickell got some questions to answer. The chickens are coming home to roost right now, man. People are getting upset in Wisconsin and Madison.
I was just thinking when you said bring your sports feelings, I'm like, unless you're gonna cry, then keep those.
There's no crying.
There's
in
no
baseball.
Crying.
There's no crying in baseball. Our good friends over at the Wisconsin Rapids Parkinson Support Group meet every first Wednesday of the month at the Legends Room at Ridges Golf Course in Wisconsin Rapids. They'll be meeting today from 1:30 to 2:30. There is no charge. The group caters to those with a Parkinson's diagnosis as well as those caregiving. You can follow them on Facebook if you'd like to find out more information, or go to wiparkinson.org, wiparkinson.org. Big shout out to all those individuals involved in that and everybody. And we have to mention this, Terry. It is a Wednesday. Bingo!
Bingo!
Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693. Their doors open at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. You drive past there, and it is booked.
Oh, yeah.
It is packed.
Get there early.
Every Wednesday. Get on over there, enjoy, and support those that support our community like the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge does. Meet them at 430 West Jackson Street, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Terry, wanted to make sure we took a moment to remind everybody about some of the things going on with the United Way.
Yeah, so we are still taking yards for our annual Day of Caring. This event happens on October 26th. So if you are elderly, disabled, unable to financially or physically get your yard ready for winter, we encourage you to get signed up. We are also taking volunteers for that event. Last year, we had about 450 community members come through to help get this work done. Our goal is 85 to 90 yards. So if you are interested in either of those, in having your yard raked or signing yourself or a group up for raking, you can visit our website at uwswac.org. You can also always call us at the United Way office at 715-421-0390.
Encourage you to do that, everybody. Be a part of the great things that are going on with the United Way. Find out more by calling 211 and looking for different volunteer opportunities and ways you can impact things in your community. And, of course, uwswac.org, not only the website, but a great way to follow them on social media as well. Type that in your search bar. A goat named Joshua. That's what I want to talk about, Terry. A goat named Joshua. I like goats. I'll admit that. I like goats. A goat named Joshua joined a half marathon in Newfoundland, Canada on Sunday. It was in a pumpkin patch when he saw people running. His owner caught up to him a quarter mile left to go and walked him the rest of the way. So organizers gave him a medal when he finished.
So 13 miles he went?
yeah.
Right? A marathon's 26 miles?
Yeah. This goat pretty much, I think he earned that.
That is awesome.
That's a good looking goat, too. That's
I mean, of course, goats chew on everything, so he probably ate that metal right away.
He probably did.
You know,
probably
you see those where people like biting the metal, yeah, yes. You know, in their pictures. Can't you just see that goat? Like they're trying to keep it from going down his throat.
I didn't even think of that. That's awesome. Our United Way a little while ago did a great thing with the diaper collection that you guys were doing. Well, the Nebraska Diaper Bank is in the news after handing out its 8 millionth diaper for the other day. 8 millionth diaper they handed out.
Wow.
They've been helping new parents for a decade. The charity launched in 2014, but they have really ramped things up recently. Most of those 8 million diapers have been handed out in the past 3 years.
I believe that. We certainly have. I mean, if you think about that, we organized it for 2024, but 2022, 23 is when, you know, we were talking about it and recognizing need. So, I can see that. And as prices go up in general for folks, you know, they have to make adjustments somewhere. And, you know, unfortunately, or maybe they just think they can, but, you know, like stretching out those diapers longer, that kind of thing. So we had a overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
Positive response from the community, but also in the level of appreciation from those programs that now have those diapers to get out to members of the community.
Did a lot of good with that.
That's fabulous. It'll be back.
And that's really cool to hear. Another good story of the day right there. That's great. And a reminder to everybody out there that tomorrow in Midday Magazine, Ben is going to be joining us from the United Way. We're going to be diving into the Alice Report, some new interesting stats from that, as always, but some other angles on it, too, that sounds like that be really worth your listen. Terry, thank you so much for hanging out with us and all you do in the community. We appreciate you.
Thanks.
We'll be back with more fun tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR, 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media.